Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
So listen, I was struggling in what I was going to do in order to kind of launch us into this because I'm not sure how I'm going to exactly do it, but let me tell you, so how many know like smoking is in the news today, like with vaping, and it's kind of like it's like there's nothing new under the sun, right? It was just kind of different when I was a kid, and kind of smoking was that thing, you know, cool kids or that, and so that was an issue, and it's definitely something we need to deal with. Just to show you how different today is, and then how many grew up with parents that smoked? Yeah, rest my case, you know. And when I smell smoke, it's nostalgic for me. It reminds me of home. All right, and so there's that. You know what was interesting? I remember being a little kid, and I got to go into the Detroit Red Wings dressing room, the Detroit Red Wings, and it was kind of a thrill for me as a kid. Do you know they used to have ashtrays in the stalls next to people? They would smoke in between periods. How crazy is that? My first year of professional hockey, you were allowed to smoke in public. And so I remember, like, we would get off of the ice and our jerseys would just stink like cigarettes. All right. And so, and listen, if you're a smoker in here, don't hear me saying anything bad or anything like that. You won't find in the Bible, thou shalt not smoke. Okay. Now, you might meet Jesus faster by smoking, but that's just that's between you and the Lord. But something is odd to me. So when I was Susan and I got pregnant, actually she got pregnant, but I participated. And anyways, that's too much information. But it was funny. There was a team rule on my NHL hockey team was this: is you had to go out and buy the boys cigars. So that's what you had to do, and they wouldn't let you get away with some kind of like little cheap, those little cherry things or whatever, but you had to go, in fact, in my time, we had to go buy illegal cigars. So Cuban Monte Cristo cigars, and I'm like, how does one even go do that, right? I got my connections, and so we kind of did that. I was less sanctified then. But I did that for my teammates. And isn't it kind of odd that that's kind of a tradition? Like to give cigars to people? We're celebrating new life. And so here's a cigar that perhaps yours will end sooner, right? It's just kind of like a bizarre little tradition. And for the record, one of the Jets, Brett Cavalli, he and his wife Melissa are due. And so he, as being the good man he is, gave his pastor a cigar. And the reason why I'm talking about all this is some of you are getting nervous. I want to talk to you about smoke this morning. And so all that was within me, I was like, well, they will never forget this if I was actually to light this up right now and start smoking it. But I figured I do not want to deal with that many emails tomorrow. All right, and so offending, you know, so many people. And then I thought, you know what? I would do it, and it would set off the fire sprinklers or something like that, and you would definitely never forget that message. So when I reference smoke, this is going to be our smoke for today, all right? Can you see that? You can see that. That's good. This will work, okay? So when you see spray, vapor, you think smoke, right? Okay, great. That's what I want to talk about smoke. So if you're new here, you're like, what in the world is this pastor all about? Okay, let me catch you up. We're actually in a series called Casket Empty, and C-A-S-K-E-T, Casket, they're actually acronyms because we're Christians and we love to do that kind of stuff for some reason. We're on the K in Casket that stands for kings. We've talked about David. Last week we talked about Solomon, and we learned this, that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs, and we were actually pulling stuff, some wisdom from the book of Proverbs last week. And so I want to highlight two other books. Really, we're going to only talk about one, but there's other books of wisdom literature in your Bible. I don't know if you knew that. It's not just Proverbs. But do you know this, that even the book of Proverbs is bookend between two other books, one called Job. It's not Job. It's Job, right? And the book of Ecclesiastes. These two are books of wisdom literature. And here's why the Bible is just so mind-blowing. It has to be a book from the Lord, because we're just not that smart. Like when you read the book of Proverbs, it's very pithy wisdom, right? And it just sounds like, it almost sounds mathematical. If you do this, then God's going to do that. And I think you and I, if you've lived it all, you realize life doesn't work that way. And so the books of Job and Ecclesiastes, they start to highlight what life is like. They're going to call it under the sun. What is life like in a fallen Genesis 3 sin-filled broken world? And because the Proverbs, while they should work, you're aligning yourself up with the way God designed the creation to work, but right now it's fractured. And sometimes, can I get a big amen? It just doesn't work out that way. And so the book of Job is actually the story of a man who loses everything. And at the end of the book, we realize this. He says, God is enough. And then the book of Ecclesiastes is the story of Solomon, a man who gains and gets everything, and he realizes it's all vanity. It's worthless. And at the end of his book, he says this, fear God and follow him. This is the true meaning and the end of life. And so they both come to the same conclusion by different means of it, okay? And so this is why the book is so wonderful. And here's, so like Solomon, you need to feel this with me, because this is kind of our world today, where we're just kind of this narcissistic, hey, we just want to consume. And it isn't amazing that depression is skyrocketing, suicide is skyrocketing, because they're bumping into the book of Ecclesiastes. It's been given to us because Solomon's going to go, hey, I've tried everything. It doesn't work. And so that's his message to us today. And so, like, if you don't believe me, Solomon, he was the wealthiest man. So scholars estimate that if he was alive today, his net worth would be $2.2 trillion. $2.2 trillion. And so Jeff Bezos right now currently is the richest man on the planet. He's worth about $111 billion, all right? We got that pauper Bill Gates. He's going into like a cool $105 billion, all right? And so Solomon would laugh at these men. And so he had all the wealth there was, and you're going to hear this refrain over and over. It's vanity. It's vanity. Here's another one. Like, we love pleasure. Listen, I love pleasure. We're a culture that is just seeking after pleasure. But here's the deal. Like Solomon, he was king. I don't know if you know, king of the mightiest nation of his day. And here's what that means. That guy got to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and no one could tell him no. Here's another thing. Like in our sex-crazed culture, this guy, 700 wives, 300 concubines, which is just kind of sex slaves. Listen, I don't have time to explain it, but that's kind of what it was. And so a thousand. And so there is not an experience or a type of woman or anything that you can conjure up, 50 shades of anything. Listen, he would laugh at you. And so we see Solomon, all these different things, and yet what is his refrain? Vanity of vanity. Would you read with me? We're going to be Ecclesiastes. I want you to look real quick at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Solomon's going to say this. He says, the words of the preacher. And so the word Ecclesiastes, it means the preacher or the teacher. And so Solomon wants to teach us something so we don't have to learn the hard way. And so he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And so he's going to use that word vanity 38 to 40 times. There's only 12 chapters in it. And so this is the message that Solomon is trying to convey to us, that all this stuff under the sun, if you start chasing this stuff, it's vain. It's vain. It's going to lead you to a dead end. And here's the scary thing about this is that boy, for you and I, we're never going to be as wealthy as Solomon. Can we just agree? I hope you are and you tithe. Okay, but we're probably just not going to get there. But isn't it amazing that we see people that we think are living the dream, and yet we see all this darkness, depression, suicide? Isn't it odd? And so he's screaming, vanity of vanity. So let me tell you what the word vanity is in the Hebrew. It's the word hevel. Can you say that with me? Hevel. Listen to you little Hebrew scholars here. Hevel. Hevel, it means smoke, right? Remember, work with me this morning. Smoke, all right? And here's the thing about smoke. Like pleasure, that thing that we are all after and we enjoy, it's really good for about this long, and it's gone. And then we need to chase more of it, don't we? How about this, like even time? Do you believe this? Has anyone ever woken up and going, where did the last decade go? It's like, oh my gosh, do you guys know, like we're going to have a Christmas tree up here before you blink. It's like, I feel like I just paid off my credit card bill, all right? And so, but here we go again, and he's going to say time, boom, it's here and it's gone. Your life, boom, it's here, it's gone, it disappears. And so all these things, have you ever tried to grab smoke? You can't. You can't get a hold of it. And so he's going to say these things that we're chasing, it's all hevel. You're never going to get your arms around it. It's all smoke. But some of you guys look like you don't believe me. So I'm going to give you some modern day philosophers. And if we can agree, like probably none of us are going to have kind of the testimony of Job. But none of us are ever going to be as wealthy on this end of the spectrum as Solomon. You know where we're doomed to? We're doomed to the mushy middle, that we kind of believe it, but you know what? We kind of don't. And so we're going to be stuck in this ping-pongy thing, and the appeal this morning is, hey, don't do it. It's vanity. So if you don't believe me, I want you to, let's listen to the great philosopher Drake, okay? Come on. Now, my wife's not here this morning, but it's the great Canadian hope right there is the Canadian rapper Drake, a.k.a. Aubrey Drake Graham. And so Drake, he said this, admitted this in a Rolling Stones article. He says this. He says that there was a point where I felt like I needed to keep the company of a different woman every night. I was trying to fill a void. He said, but in those moments after sex, I'd known it wasn't working. Those quiet moments are the realest moments a man will ever have in his life. The next day, I convinced myself to do it again, but during that time, I knew it wasn't working. Do you get that? Does that resonate with anybody, that you think this thing is going to satisfy you, and then the moment it's over, you realize it I'm still hungry again, and then you just convince yourself that maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time. Here's another one, because a lot of us think, man, celebrities, they're living the life, aren't they? Like, we love to follow them on Twitter and Instagram and these great celebs. And isn't it how ironic it is that maybe as a young budding star or something, like, you just want to make it big and be the celebrity. But how crazy is it that once they become a celebrity, what do? They hate it. They run from the paparazzi. They complain about having no privacy. That's what you were chasing in the first place. Here's what Brad Pitt had to say. Once again, in a Rolling Stones interview, he says, Pitt says, man, I know all these things are supposed to seem important to us, the car, the condo, our version of success, but if that's the case, why is the general feeling out there reflecting more and more impotence and isolation and desperation and loneliness? He says, if you ask me, I say toss all this. We got to find something else, because all I know is that at this point in time, we are heading for a dead end, a numbing of the soul, a complete atrophy of the spiritual being, and I don't want that. Did you hear what he just said? It's all hevel. It's smoke. I hate to mention this guy, but I have to. Tom Terrific, Tom Brady of the Evil Empire, the New England Patriots. I've quoted him before in all his multitude of championships, of league MVPs. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars, And I always like to reference the point that he's married to a Victoria's Secret supermodel, Gisele Bündchen, who's worth three times what he's worth. So I always say he's the trophy wife in the relationship, right? And so this guy who has everything, he was interviewed by CBS News, and they asked Tom Terrific, why are you so driven after having accomplished so many things? And his response should be alarming to us. He says this, surely there can't be this all there is. Surely there must be more than this, right? He's realizing that all the things that we're chasing, which are good things, but please don't look for them to satisfy you, because it's just hevel, it's smoke. I'll throw one more at you. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP season for the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He won the league MVP, the Super Bowl MVP, and won the Super Bowl. And he sat in his locker room and while everyone was celebrating, and he thought this to himself, I hope this isn't all I do. It's all hevel. It's all smoke. And so this smoke, this thing we're chasing is elusive. And here's the reason why, and I want to get us back to the scriptures now. Genesis 1 and 2, it describes God's perfect creation when he created everything. And if you remember a couple weeks back, we talked about God's perfect design is that he created everything in peace. It's the word shalom in the Hebrew, and it means that there's nothing broken and nothing lacking. Everything was integrated together, and it worked perfectly and wonderfully until Genesis 3 happened, and then suddenly the shalom disintegrated. That creation had its soul tore out of it, and now things that used to satisfy no longer do. And so if I can explain it this way, sex was designed to have a man and woman to be a picture of what it means to be one with another, to be one with God. And it was actually supposed to be this worshipful thing. And now suddenly, with the soul tore out of it, it becomes lust. That we have food. It was given. It's a gracious gift by God. How great is God that we get flavors and all that kind of good stuff, right? But yet, what happens now? It was supposed to lead to worship and gratitude to a good God who would give us such wonderful food to eat. And now what is it? It becomes gluttony. We start chasing after this, and enough is never enough. And then would you even think drink? We were supposed to make the heart of man celebratory towards God, and what does it become? Drunkenness, right? And so we can see over and over these things because the creation has become hollow. This actually helped me. Peggy's not here today, so we'll talk about her. Viola, you can let her know I was talking about her. So last Christmas, Peggy was real sweet, and she gave me a gift card. And for the record, your pastor is not opposed to that, all right? I don't need any crucifixes, any more Bibles. I'm good. Gift card, all right? And so I got a gift card to Rail Steakhouse, and it was fantastic. You know, I took my family there. We went, and it was amazing. And now let me put that juxtaposition. I give blood regularly, and so I went to the blood, and they give you a gift card if you give blood. And so both are gift cards. But here's the deal. I blew through the Red Cross gift card in no time, and you know what? It's done. Hevel. But the gift card that I received from Peggy, I blew through the gift card. But do you know I'm still drinking from the love, from the gratitude, from the thanksgiving, that wow, how wonderful was it that she gave me a gift like that? And that is how we're to respond to God. There's a word for the gratitude when we enjoy the good gift of God. It's called worship. It's called thanksgiving. And that's what we were designed to do. And so Solomon is going to ask us this. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he's going to try to answer this question. Is there anything good? And he's going to use this word, under the sun. And what he means by that is just what we can see on earth void of a relationship with God. Is anything good? And he's going to say that 29 times throughout the book. Is there anything good? Under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. And then we're going to read, listen, I'll just get you to the end of the book and we'll get the answer to the question, all right? And so here it is in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Solomon concludes his answering his question. He says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so here's the good news for us. Under the sun, it's all vanity outside of a relationship with God. But here's the promise of the New Testament. And we'll get there eventually. The book of Revelations talks about this. Do you know that God, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to rip the sky open. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And here's what's crazy. Do you know that it says in the book of Revelations that there will be no more sun? Because the glory of God will be the brightness and will be our sun. And see, we no longer have to have life under the sun, but Jesus will be the sun that sheds light to all of us. And so that is our hope. But in the meantime, here we are, life under the sun. I want to pull something. Remember, we're talking about relationships this morning, right? I want to talk to you just for a second about connect groups. If you don't know what a connect group is, it's what we call our life groups. And we just believe it's unbelievably important that we do life together, that we're not just a crowd, but we're a people, that we're a family, that we're all relationally connected to one another. And so here's what we're going to find out. Let me read for you. Solomon is going to pull something from the book of Ecclesiastes, a truth, a wisdom that I think will serve us well as a church. And he says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, he says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? For the record, if any of you single men use that on a woman, you will be under church discipline. All right? Verse 12, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what Solomon, the wisdom for us today amidst all the fog and all the smoke, is he points out this, the importance of relationships. It was just not that long ago, we had the funeral for Pastor Dottie's mom who went home to be with the Lord. It was amazing. It turned into a celebration of her life. And there was more laughter and stuff in that. And then it actually brought me back to a story that many of you will be familiar with. It was on January 15th, 2009. Many of you remember it was my birthday that day. I turned 40. My wife had been 40 much longer than that, all right, just so you know. But if you also remember that day, that was the day where U.S. flight, 1549, flying from LaGuardia, to Chicago, lost both engines. And suddenly, they were going to do land in the Hudson River. We all would know it as the miracle on the Hudson. And there's a man, Rick Elias, who is sitting in the front row facing the stewardess. And he says to see the terror on her face. And then you're used to hearing the hum of the engines. And then suddenly when you just get eerie silence, it's very sobering. Until he says this, suddenly you heard the captain come over the loudspeaker and he says this, brace yourself for impact. And Rick Elias, he says this, when you hear those words, life becomes crystal clear in that moment. Like in the fog of everyday life where our priorities and everything feels muddy and confused and cloudy, he says in that moment, life becomes crystal clear. And he says he learned three things in that moment. For the record, you guys look alarmed. You know they made it, okay? They made it. It's all right. Rick Elias says this. Here's where the three things he learned was this. He says, number one, he says, don't procrastinate. He says, there's no guarantee of tomorrow, so don't push things off to tomorrow. He says this, number two, do away with pride and ego because it blocks relationship. So do away with foolishness at the end of the day. It all melts away. But he says, here's the third thing, and that's this, the importance of relationships in his life. He says, in that moment, who cares about my career? Who cares about my my sports team? Who cares about whatever? It's the relationship with my family and friends that in the end, that's what matters. And so we read a little bit about that. The fog moves away for Solomon. He says, this is what's important, is relationships. And he says in verse 9, he says, two are better than one. And so you want to know why we do connect groups here at Every Nation New Jersey is because two really are better than one, that we can get more done when we do it together. So I don't know if you guys heard this. David and Jenny Carta, our youth ministers, they are a gift from heaven. I don't even know how else to say it, right? Just the most amazing couple. And I'm like, God bless them. God, please bless them. And I don't know if you heard this. God bless them with a house. All right, so they just purchased a home, and here's a cool story, side story. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but oh well, I'm a pastor. They actually got a deal thrown in. The people they actually lost to another couple, and then I was like, let's just believe, and sure enough, that couple wound up bouncing out, and David and Jenny got the home, and it even gets better. Is because they purchased the home, and the people said, listen, we don't want to deal with cleaning all our stuff up. We're gonna lead all of it to you. And so it wasn't bad stuff. It was amazing stuff. And so all the garage has all the tools and stuff in it. That they left the flat screen TVs on the wall and all these different things. And here was the coolest one. Like, if you know Sweet Jenny, like, she would not spend a dime on herself. The lady left her wardrobe the exact size of Jenny, and it's designer gear. How good is God, huh? But here's the thing is that, so they had to move out of their little place that they were living in. It was small, and it was like 2.5 flights of stairs to get up to their floor. And so, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna help you guys move. I can do the front end. But then when you get to the back end, you guys got to figure something out. And so I shot word out to my connect group, boys, come on, Carters are moving. We need some hands. And so Daniel Gilmer, he met me, and Chanel met me at their place. And so here was the deal. We're going to conquer and overcome. I mean, if you ever start moving, they have three little kids. And so if you ever tried to move with little children around, and so they're trying to be sweet, the good parents, you know, do that. And because you can't yell at your kids when your pastor's there, right? And so we're moving stuff. We moved this big couch, and I tell you, a box of goldfish fell out of there. Skittles, you know, that whole deal. And so we're moving stuff. But I told Daniel, I'm like, I don't like loading stuff on the truck. I'll do the Stairmaster. I'll go up and down, get them at the top and go down. I thought that would be a good idea. I can get a workout in. And so I'm doing the Stairmaster back and forth, up the stairs. Until finally I was like, I think I bit off too much, but I was too proud, like, to turn in my guy card. So I'm literally asking the Lord to kill me. And for a moment, I thought he was gonna, all right, just so you know. And so we're doing it, and then we finally get that baby loaded, and I'm like, good luck, buddy, because I'm done. And so they load up the truck, and sure enough, you know who's waiting for them on the other end? I believe it was Dom. I believe it was Anthony Westby. Who else was there, Dom? Hack was there. And so what? Our boys were there to help these guys load in. And here's what I want to tell you. If those guys weren't there, that would have been a beat down. But how cool is it that we're to carry one another's burdens, spiritually and literally. And so what a great opportunity. And that's the people we want to be. When the load of life hits us, who are your crew? Who do you call on to help you in your time of need? Because two are better than one. We look at verse 10. Why do we do connect groups? It says, because if one falls, that there's someone there to pick you back up again. And so I read this. I love reading like Navy SEAL books and that kind of thing. And so I'm reading one by this SEAL who's a former Navy SEAL, and now he's an ultra marathon runner. And the whole premise of the book is how, man, you can push yourself to the next level limits of your life. And so he was sharing what they do in the SEALs during the BUDS program. That's kind of you trying to make it. It's training to become a SEAL. And so here's one of the tests. And at any point, if you quit, you ring the bell, you're out of the BUDS, the SEALs program. And so here's the pool exercise they do. Get this. They tie their hands behind their back and tie their ankles together, and then they throw them into the deep end of the pool. And so you can't kick your legs, You can't keep yourself up with your arms. And so what you're forced to do is allow yourself to sink to the bottom of the pool, hit the bottom, come up, get air, and then come back down. And you do that over and over and over until you quit or you pass out in the water. And then underneath the water are the SEAL team to grab your unconscious body, take you to the front, and revive you again. So I don't know if you've done those little cute trust falls, you know, right? That's real cute. How many know that was different? About 4 or 5 years ago, I had back surgery, number 4 and number 5. So the first time I had some old hardware in, I had 4 and 5 fused, and now they did like S whatever it is up to a lot. And so they had to remove the old hardware, and so they opened me up on the front end, waited 4 days, and then they flipped me in the hospital, and then they went in the back end. And so I was kind of like the macho guy, hey, leave me alone, I don't want any visitors, I don't want any of that thing. But then after about day 4 in the hospital, I don't know if you've ever been there, where just everything hurts. Have you ever laid in bed and had your hair hurt before, right? And so I'm just at that point, and then I don't know if you've been here before, but I've been there on multiple occasions, is have you ever just been so sore and just hurt so much that you could no longer be polite and just the ugly parts of you bubble up to the surface? That was your pastor, okay? I literally had to go apologize to the PA there after I came to my senses. And so I'm just kind of in a lot of pain and miserable. And then I get to one of the nurses says, hey, there's a guy named Tubbs here to see you. And I'm like, I don't want any guests. Tubbs is here, they said. And Pastor Shino Prater pokes his head around the corner. And if you guys don't know Crockett and Tubbs, Pastor Shino's a black man. If you haven't noticed, I'm a white man. And so we're Crockett and Tubbs, Miami Vice together. And so he's like, hey, bro, like that. And I just started cracking up laughing, you know. And so there's this idea, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. It says that laughter, it does your heart good like a medicine. That was medicine to my soul that day, and it was the thing I needed to kind of pick me up. And so what happens to you when your life unravels? Like, who's there to pick you up? And that's why we do connect groups. Here's number 3 is this. We do connect groups to keep one another warm. And here's what that means by that. I want you to stay passionate for the Lord. How many love seasons? Do you guys love the seasons? Like, if there's a more spectacular time on the planet than the fall in the Northeast, I've yet to see it, because this is an amazing time of year, and I'm all about the seasons, love them all, but do you know that there's spiritual seasons as well? Like, even Ecclesiastes is going to say, hey, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh, but guess what? There's a time to cry, too. There's a time to live, but there's a time to die, and so we can see there's seasons of life. And maybe you don't know this, but some of those, the seasons aren't all summer and spring. Sometimes there's winter, the dark night of the soul in our faith. Like those times you pray to God and you think God ghosted you. Anybody? You're like, are you real or is this even? And then, so it's those dark nights of the soul is who's there to warm you. Who's there to stir your passion for Christ? See, listen, you can walk on your own, but listen, you're going to die a death. You're going to suffer more than you need to. Even Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he sent them out in 2. Why? Because we desperately need to stay connected to one another. Who's there to stir your passion for one another? Let me tell you this. You know that even the U.S. Air Force knows this. They have their survival training school. And they make all the students, the candidates, they have to memorize 2 numbers. Here's the 2 numbers. I'm going to give them to you for free, all right? The 2 numbers are this, 98.6. That is the ideal core body temperature. If your core temperature starts to go down too far, 88, you're not going to think clearly. 82, you're toast, okay? And then here's the second number is the number 3. And here's what they tell you. This is from the U.S. Air Force Survival Academy. He says you can survive 3 seconds without spirit and without hope. You can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter in extreme conditions, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, 3 months without compassion or love or companionships. See, we desperately need one another. And listen, the goal is not to survive. The goal is to thrive. And we do it doing life with one another. And here's verse 12. It says this, the reason why we do connect groups is a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. I'll share this last story. I've shared it before. It's really cool. If you get a chance, you need to Google, don't do it now, Google Battle at Christmas Mass. And here's what you'll pull up is they have like an unbelievable African preservation there where you see all these animals and someone's doing like a National Geographic thing where they're showing and they show this massive herd of buffalo, all right? And so a whole bunch of them. And then as they're filming, you see this, and it always happens, National Geographic's, right? The little baby one gets out of the herd of the buffalo. And you're like, uh-oh. And then they pan across, and what do you see? A pride of lions hiding out, ready to pounce. You can see this thing starting to happen until suddenly two of the female of the lionesses, they start to attack and they start chasing down the other herd. They scatter and this little baby is running away for its life. It runs down to a moat of water and he's cornered, about to get pounced on by the lion, when out of the moat comes a crocodile that grabs a hold of the buffalo. And now there's a tug of war between the lioness and the crocodile on who's going to eat this little baby buffalo. Right? And so you're like, oh my gosh, we can't watch this. And so you want to like flip the channel, hold on, pump the brakes, because the herd got back together again. And as they did, they began to approach the lioness and the crocodile. Suddenly you see the crocodile just spit that baby out of its mouth, goes back into the moat. And now the lionesses can feel something's coming towards them. And finally they spit the baby out and they turn around and there is a wall of buffalo there until one gets up next to it and they all move together as one and boom, they just launch that lioness about 10 feet in the air and suddenly they're all like, no thank you, and they get out of there. Little baby buffalo gets up and pops right back up into the herd. Happy ending, right? So unbelievable story, and that is our story, that we are better together. Listen, so do you guys know what they call it? So we heard about a group of cattle are called a herd. A group of lions are called a pride. A group of crocodile are called a basque. That's for free. All right. And a group of Christians are called a connect group. Yes. Yes. Good. Good. We're good. We're good. You guys are all right, for the record. All right. And so this is what we're designed to do. This is how the scripture's clear. We have an enemy, and he wants to steal from you, he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. But the Bible's also clear that you and I, we contend as one for the faith and for one another. And when we stand together, we're unstoppable. And so will you stand with me this morning? Kim, I'm going to ask you to come on up, and I want to have a last appeal to you this morning is we do connect groups because there's safety in numbers, all right? And here's what I want to do. I want to be honest because I believe the Bible's honest. We read that in Job. We read that in Ecclesiastes. And I don't want to over-romanticize connect groups. Listen, I've been saying over and over again, we're a spiritual family. Can we agree that family can be really messy sometimes? But it doesn't change the fact that you're family and you work through things. The same thing is in connect groups. You can look to get into a group, and I got news for you. Sometimes you might not like that group. And you might be get in there and you're like, I hate these people, right? And these people are weird or whatever. And but listen, don't do away with God's plan for your victory, for your security. It's like you don't do that in every other vein of life. You don't go to a restaurant and have a bad meal and go, I will never do that again. You don't. But I want to encourage you to go to the back. We have a list of connect groups. Go onto our website, look around and examine and start checking out our connect groups. But more than that, get planted into the relational life of this church.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.